Well, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us here, the intersection of faith and culture. You are tuned into the Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Great to welcome to the program Dr. Ron Bryce. He's an emergency room physician in Dallas. He is someone that has been affiliated with the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. He is a member. He also served as CMDA's Texas representative from 2011 to 2015. He was appointed by then-Governor Rick Perry to the Texas Medical Board. He served from 2006 to 2012. He's written a book entitled Fingerprint of God, The Church as a Living Body. And I may note here that Gene Rudd, who's the senior VP of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, offered a kind endorsement. People may be familiar with that organization. And Ron Bryce, hey, let me welcome you to the Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Great to have you along.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, let's begin. You actually take a look at the body of Christ from a physician's standpoint. I was just sharing with you, you've got quite a patient there to examine. So tell me about why it is that you wanted to address this subject matter.
Yeah, I never thought of it as a large patient, but maybe you have something there. Now, I am a physician. I've been an emergency room physician and family practice doctor for going on basically 40 years, and treated about 100,000 sick and hurting people over that time. And, of course, I'm a Christian, and I've tried to be active in church and tried to serve the Lord any way I could. I tried to use my medical practice to serve the Lord. And over a period of time, probably about 15, 20 years ago, I started having a question in my mind about how come we haven't really seen revival in the church? Why have we not really experienced the earth-shaking move of God like many years ago they would have? Why is sometimes the church or our churches, why do they sometimes seem ineffective or really not listened to in the public square? And I was at the time involved with a church that had some difficulties, and we were trying to work through that. And the best I could come, I tried to resolve the conflict of what I knew the body of Christ should be and is with what I saw around me. And I came to realize that perhaps the body of Christ, the living body of Christ, is something that is not what we do, what I call the business of Christ. A lot of times I think we fall into seeing our local church, our local congregation, our churches as businesses, and we run them as businesses. And with all good intention, we try to have good business practices. We have marketing. We try to present programs that are entertaining. And What I started to toy around with is maybe that's different from what Paul described, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12 and elsewhere. He described a living body. And I just dug down and I read more and more about this living body. It was intriguing to me because I'm a doctor and I treat living bodies for a living. And the more I read, the more I realized what Paul was writing really was not business terms. He wasn't using the terminology or the bibliography of a business point of view. He was in the limited scientific knowledge of the time, he was describing the body of Christ as sort of a living spiritual organism. And that intrigued me, and I didn't know how far that metaphor or that analogy would go, but I just dug down and I just got to appreciate over time how Paul, who had this, of all things, he had a physician at his side, Luke, the physician. He had some sort of a physical ailment, like a thorn in the flesh, he described. And so he had a physician along with him as he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, left for dead, he was imprisoned. And all this time he had some kind of an affliction, and he had a physician alongside of him as his sidekick. And he wrote, during these struggles that he was going through as he presented the gospel, he wrote about a living body. And so I just dug down in there and thought, well, maybe there's something in there that today's Christians, today's church can take away and really start to have a deeper understanding of who we are and what the body of Christ really is.
Well, you're listening to Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Ron Bryce is joining us today. He has been an emergency room doctor for quite some time. In fact, has been working in emergency rooms for some 40 years. And so you've had the opportunity to actually treat over 100,000 patients. That is just staggering when you think about that. And you have written this book called Fingerprint of God, and I wanted you to draw some parallels for us. As you did your research, as you began to really study the scriptures and think about the patients that you had treated throughout the years, what are some things that you could point to where the body of Christ actually functions like our physical bodies?
Well, first thing that comes to mind, January 22nd is the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision about 45 or so years ago. There have been tens of millions of babies aborted in that time. And so it just reminds me of one aspect of how I wrote this book. I happened to be on call for emergencies at a hospital many years ago, and I was called to a code blue in the operating room. A code blue is basically when someone's heart is stopped or someone's at death's door, or perhaps they are dead, and we try to revive them. You know, you may have seen on TV, you shock them and breathe for them and so forth. Well, it's unusual to have that called in a operating room, but I was on call, and, you know, we ran down there. I remember running down the hall, busting through the operating room door, and there was a lady on the operating table who appeared to be fine. She was sitting up. The surgeon was there with the mask on and in the surgical garb. Everybody seemed fine. And I was wondering what was going on. But then I looked in the corner, and there was this little premature baby on a table, on a metal table up against the wall. And the baby was not breathing. And so it turned out I resuscitated the baby. That was the code blue. And it turned out it was a botched abortion, basically. It was the abortionist had somehow had the baby born alive during the abortion. And so I cared for that baby. At the time, I had been pro-life, you know, nominally. You know, if you ask me, yeah, I'm pro-life. But it really didn't sink down until I treated that little boy. And he only survived a day or so. And I was caring for him in the neonatal intensive care unit. Did everything I could for him, you know. But I would hold him. And it just seemed like I was almost, I don't know how to say it, the whole universe in my mind just seemed focused on this one child and what had happened in his short life. And at that point, I realized just how an intimate and personal thing abortion is. And I went to my local church shortly after that, and I started trying to get them to come with me. I would go pray in front of the abortion clinic, you know. I wasn't a rebel rouser or anything, but I would pray for the patients going in. I would try to help. I would pray for the workers there. I would, of course, pray for the babies that were going in there. I would go early in the morning at dark before work and just pray. And I wanted my local church to be involved with that too, because it just seemed like such a focused issue for me. And to my surprise, my pastors did not want to be involved. They did not want to go down with me. They didn't even want to see what was happening at the abortion clinic. They just went along with whatever they saw on the newscast of what happens in front of abortion clinics. They didn't want to have their church exposed, even though statistics say a third of evangelical Christian adults have had abortions, or a third of church attenders, just about the same percentage as non-attenders. But they didn't want to get involved because they saw it as a political issue. And it started to gel in my mind that they were running, you know, I'm not trying to throw stones at them, they were trying, but they were running their church as a business. They didn't want to upset anyone. They didn't want to upset the fundraising and the programs that were there. They didn't want people to not come because a touchy issue was discussed. Slipped into a mindset of using best business practices and not stepping on toes, and their church was being run as a business or as an organization. And so the more I read about how we are to be a living body, the more I saw in my own experiences with churches how a lot of them were, sure, they were trying to be accountable, they were trying to have good business practices, they wanted to grow their attendance and so forth, but they were using business practices of the world to try and influence the world, and it just wasn't working. And as much entertainment as you can do and as much politically correct sermons that you can do, it does not come down to really having the body of Christ being strong and effective in the world. And I just came to realize that. And so I wanted to study how the church could be a living body. And I found there was very, very little written about it. And I read secular books on how businesses can be like living bodies and how people use biological concepts in military science and in computer programming and game theory and different things. But the church, which is supposed to be a living body, which was created by God to be a living body according to the Bible, for some reason has kind of lost the concept that we are to have biological principles in our church, in our organization, in our relationships one with another. And when businesses use these kind of organic biological principles, it just makes all the difference a lot of times in how they can be successful in the business world. But in the church, somehow we always default to a business model that's just kind of a command and control, old-fashioned industrial age kind of business model. And I think that even though people are trying and they're pouring resources and time into that kind of a model of the church, in the end, it just can't keep up. It can't adapt to the changing environment around us.
Well, you are listening to Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Dr. Ron Bryce is joining us today. He is the author of this book entitled Fingerprint of God, The Church as a Living Body. And I understand, Dr. Bryce, that you spend quite a bit of time in the book on the concept of genetic code. Of course, each individual is, well, as the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of us is unique. So each of us has unique genetic code in our DNA. But you also address how the church, the body of Christ, has its own DNA. So talk about the parallels as you see it.
Right. To me, the genetic code or DNA is such an awesome thing to study because it just shows God's fingerprint on this earth. If you take the DNA of your body right now, it's a long chain of a four-letter alphabet. It's actually a language. It's written in a language of four letters that are in different sequences for different people. And it is microscopic. It's one molecule each, just strung end to end. And this is almost beyond belief, but it's true. If you took all the DNA in your body right now and strung it end to end and uncoiled it, it would reach from the earth to the moon and back 500,000 times. It's such a long, detailed language, a book, a huge book that's written about you and your life. So I think people can take comfort in knowing that the author of the universe, the creator of all life, even before they were born, wrote their story, wrote their life, wrote their DNA, their genetic code, so that God obviously has a purpose for each one of us. He wrote a book on each one of us before we were even born, and it's our genetic code. But the thing I go into, there are several aspects of life that I talk about, the aspects of life, the attributes of life. That's what I call the fingerprint of God, are the attributes of life. If the body of Christ has these attributes of life, then we ought to see parallels between our human bodies or other living bodies in the body of Christ. And one of these that I stumbled on for some time, I've probably spent 6 or 12 months just trying to figure it out, was if our human bodies have a genetic code that basically is a blueprint, what is the genetic code for the body of Christ? And one of the key scriptures that an aha moment for me was when I read about how Christ is the head of the body, And I always thought of the head as being the brain. But, you know, to look at the Greek and to research a little further, that word head can be translated as the boss or the person in charge. And so I really believe that Christ, the Word, of all things, Jesus Christ is called the Word in John chapter 1. The Word is the body of the genetic code, or the written instructions for the body of Christ is found in the Bible, the Word of God. And so that's one aspect that I touch on, and I give some arguments for that. And but there are many, many attributes of life that we can see in revived, living, effective churches. That's just one aspect, is to understand that the Word of God is actually the genetic code for the body of Christ.
So as we conclude, I want to ask you to share what you would desire for people to take away from this book, Fingerprint of God, and how you see that it could shape the church once it gets a handle on this concept of being a living body, how that can perhaps change the church.
Well, I think it all goes back to one word, and I have one word that is my goal for this book, and that word is revival. And if you look at the word revival, the R-E, re means again, or to do it again, and vive, vive, comes from a Latin word meaning live. So revival means to live again. So my goal for the book and my desire of my heart and what I feel the Lord is calling me to do is to see revival, or to see the body of Christ live again, to have the attributes of life, the organic nature of the body of Christ come through and be effective, and we can be salt and light in the world, rather than just relying on best business practices and marketing and marquee signs and trying to do things that the world would do. We need to have the attributes of life so that we have revival.
Ron Bryce has been joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, longtime ER physician. And again, the name of the book is Fingerprint of God, The Church is a Living Body. And where can people go online to find out more information about this book?
Right. It is available on all the online booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, or you can go to our website, and that you can purchase the book. You can see the blogs that we've written. You can see audio, visual, different information sources there. The website is fingerprintofgodbook.com.
All right. Very good. Dr. Ron Bryce joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, fingerprintofgodbook.com. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.